It's a great joy to join with you again. We all met last Friday. It's been a great week in Miami. ¿Me entiende? ¿Más o menos? It's been a wonderful week to spend with Las Siervas and with Madre Adela, to pray with them and to be in the community, to learn about the charism that the Lord has planted in my heart, and to let it shape and guide the priesthood that He has called me to and ordained me into. But there are always some surprises when you receive a gift from the Lord. And we know that at the heart of the charism of the pierced hearts is the Marian dimension of the faith, to be receptive to the faith as she was. The fact that we are centered on the Eucharist, we are open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we stand at the center of the church to hand on the faith of the apostles as we have received it. The scriptures are so rich. And my brothers and sisters, we have to sweat a little bit to understand the Word of God. Sometimes it requires us to stand and to kneel before the Lord and to hurt a little bit as we kneel there. Because there's a great gift to receive. And just like all great gifts take time, we're invited to contemplate and to receive the Word of God. And there is so much that has been announced to us today in the Acts of the Apostles, in the first, the second letter of Paul to Timothy, in the Gospel of Matthew, and in the liturgy. But if it's okay with you, I thought we would just focus on the Gospel of Matthew. And these words that we have heard so many times, but that we need to be invited to contemplate and to understand. And those words are, "You are the rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld will not prevail against it. And I entrust to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." If we look at the structure of the gospel, we're reminded of another man who professed his faith in God, so much so that it was accredited to him as righteousness. He was promised an inheritance to be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the dust of the earth. And the Lord God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And today, Peter as the rock, Simon before this encounter with our Lord, his name and his identity has changed. And the Lord has made a promise to him. "You are a rock, and on this rock I will build my church." We see that Peter as the new Abraham is first a father. The Lord identifies in his heart that for me to raise up a new people, I need a new father. And a man who understands the fatherhood that the Lord God himself was to manifest. And that's the Father who is rich in mercy. And Peter, for all his screw-ups, for all his problems, for all his fears, could, at the last day when the Lord is risen, could confess, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Peter had tasted and drank deeply of the merciful Father's love. He's also called the rock. And the rock, a lot of us, we can think of the Lord who is my rock and my foundation, my fortress. We might think of the rock as a metaphor for saying that somebody is strong. But there's another rock in the city of Jerusalem. And if we're attentive, we can learn that the temple where the presence of God dwelled, and the Holy of Holies, after the Ark of the Covenant and the temple itself was destroyed, the second temple was built. And there were no longer the tablets of Moses. There was no longer the Ten Commandments in the Ark of the Covenant that resided in the Holy of Holies. The only thing left in the temple was a rock. And it was that rock that the high priest would anoint with the blood of the Lamb of Sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. It was that rock who would testify to the power of the blood of the covenant to renew the priesthood, to renew Israel. In the Talmud, the rabbinical commentaries on the scriptures, the rabbis would say that the rock is the only created object that is incorruptible. That when the temple was desecrated under Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanius, which we can read about in 1 Maccabees, the whole temple had to be rededicated, but not the rocks. The altar itself that was made of the 12 stones of the tribes of Israel did not have to be reconsecrated, because a rock is incorruptible. So we see two dimensions of the man who is the new father of our faith, but who is the rock. A man who has been consecrated by the blood of Christ, and a man whose faith would be incorruptible. The Petrine profession that is infallible. The Petrine profession that guarantees the truth of our faith. So he is Father, and he is rock. But our Lord tells Peter, on this rock, I will build my church. Now we've become so accustomed to the word church that we think it's ours. But it didn't start with us. The word church goes back to the Jewish people. It goes back to Sinai, where the first covenant was made of those whom the Lord called out of Egypt to the mountain so that he could make of them his people. And the word church, from the Greek ekklesia, the Hebrew kahal, means she who has been called out. She who has been called out from darkness into light, from slavery into freedom. And when the Lord Jesus says, I will build my church, he is saying, I am establishing a new covenant on this rock, on this fire, on this fatherhood. And he says, I will build. And if our memories kind of go back to the first chapters of Scripture, we know that there's someone else who the Lord God built. Because Adam was created. But the Scriptures tell us in Genesis chapter 2 that Eve, the first woman, was built. He was built. He was fashioned. She was fashioned from the rib, from the side of Adam. And so we see here that the Lord is telling Peter, on this rock, I will build the new covenanted people, and she's a she. She's a bride. She's the new Eve entrusted to the rock. So Peter is our new Abraham. He is our mediator of the new covenant, and he is entrusted with the church, who is the new Eve, the bride of Christ. And then the Lord tells him, the gates of the netherworld will not prevail against her. And I entrust you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We know from the book of Isaiah that it was the chamberlain to the king who was entrusted with the keys of the palace. At the time of our Lord, it was the high priest who was entrusted with the keys of the temple in Jerusalem. And so Peter is given an identity as a guardian, as a custodian of the mysteries of the faith, as a guardian of the kingdom and all that goes with it. And so these four dimensions, these dimensions of fatherhood, of being a mediator of a new covenant, the rock, of being entrusted with the spouse of Christ, and the guardian of the mysteries of the kingdom, go to form what we call the Petrine Principle. Now I realize these are kind of big words. This might be a lot to take. But it's important that we understand the faith, and it's important that we understand the scriptures. John Paul II gave us a language about the priesthood And he called it the Petrine Principle. The principle of the sacrament of ordination that has been carried on since Peter and Paul, that God anoints and consecrates certain men in his church to carry on. And these four dimensions of fatherhood, of being a mediator, of being entrusted with the spouse, and being a guardian of the mysteries of the kingdom are all dimensions of the priesthood. They're proper to the ordained priest, but they're proper to the universal priesthood, to the baptized. Because we are a kingdom of priests. You are a holy people. And it's part of your identity too. They become an itinerary for us to contemplate and to understand what it means to be a priestly people. What it means to be a priest. So why don't we listen to Peter himself and receive his own prayer as we enter into the great mystery that has been entrusted to all of us, the Eucharist. This comes from the first letter of Peter, chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the chosen exiles in the diaspora, in the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification by the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be yours in abundance. And then the apostle himself breaks into a prayer. That long before we had the Creed of Nicaea that we pray on Sundays, he had his own creed. And this is what it was. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by the power of God are safeguarded through faith, to a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the final time. In this you rejoice, although now for a little while you may have to suffer through various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that is perishable, even though tested by fire, may prove to be for the praise, glory, and honor of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Although you have seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, yet you believe in him. You rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy as you attain the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Prophets who prophesied concerning the salvation about the grace that was to be yours searched and investigated it, investigating the time and circumstances that the Spirit of Christ within them indicated when it testified in advance to the sufferings destined for Christ and the glories to follow them. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you with regard to the things that have now been announced to you by those who preach the good news to you through the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Since you have been purified yourselves by obedience to the truth for sincere mutual love, love one another intensely from a pure heart. You have been born anew, not from perishable, but from imperishable seed, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the field. The grass withers, and the flower wilts, but the word of the Lord remains forever. This is the word that has been proclaimed to you.